when interest rates are high, you need to be profitable because they're not going to give you enough money to keep yourself going if you're not profitable. And when they're low, that's when you can focus more on just growing as a business.
Yeah, it's very simplified, but you can use it as a rule of thumb.
Simplified is perfect for me on that. That's what I'm going to go for. Karel, thank you so much for joining us today for this this first episode of the podcast. Really great to have you here with us.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to this.
So to begin, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, your position, and about your company?
Well, we started the business many years ago. I think it's 9 years already, where we started originally as business, as Facebook business partner. At that time, it was different name, but we were kind of opportunistic. We were serving many verticals, and we were cracking a lot of issues. It wasn't good for the business, so the business went down, and we had to make difficult changes in 2019 when we actually turned around the business. That's where I started studying at the HBS, and I realized and got fascinated how retailing works. And I realized that we have data that can make retailing way more efficient, and that's where we pivoted the whole business and the whole product. To essentially utilize the data to make retailers more efficient. And that's where we started, I would say, a new chapter of ROI Hunter. I feel honored that it seems working because we are serving the best brands in the world. That's how I got to e-commerce slash retailing.
Okay. What interested you in e-commerce in the first place? Like what made you decide to that this was where your passion was?
Well, I like that retailing is a game of efficiency. So you can think of it in broader picture that if you really utilize the data, you can be really more efficient. And at the same time, it's the biggest and the oldest industry in the world. For me, it's fascinating how big impact we could create if we inspire this industry to work with the data differently. So that's when I felt first time in my life that we could really have a meaningful purpose as a company. And that was really energizing for me. And that gives me energy on a daily basis because running a business, it is actually getting slaps from multiple sides every day.
Definitely.
Since I believe that our purpose is very strong, it's what drives me forward.
Just for my own curiosity, since you have a company supporting e-commerce retail, let's say you didn't have that. If you were opening your own e-commerce company, what do you think you would sell? What would you be doing?
Well, I would actually buy a company because I see that there are a lot of very good niche, vertically integrated companies that are actually creating really good product for a certain audience. But they try to scale and the unit economy falls apart and they can't make the unit economy work. So they are usually going out of the business and sometimes selling the business for a very cheap price. And I believe that these companies are exactly what I would buy and then fix the unit economy with product performance management concept that we are developing and sell it when it's able to scale again.
One thing I wanted to talk to you about, because you and I have had some conversations before this about why profitability is so important right now for e-commerce. And obviously, profitability has always been a factor. It's always going to be something important. But I wanted to ask you why you think right now specifically is such a pivotal time for profitability.
Yeah, so I think that it's important to basically get back into what profitability means. If you are not profitable, that means that you are burning money, but you need to somehow get the money. So you usually lend the money somehow or borrow the money. Sorry.
Okay.
And that's pretty much where the cost of capital, what is the interest rate, is very important, right? Because that is pretty much dictating how much you're going to pay for the money. You need to basically subsidize your growth. And this is where right now we see the historical heights of interest rate, where in UK, US, it's 5%. In emerging markets like Brazil, it's even 13%. So that's a lot of money that is the base for the banks. So usually, you can get the money even for multiple of this price. And this is pretty much why the interest rate and cost of capital is influencing so much when you should be profitable versus when the capital is cheap and you can invest it in a growth.
Okay, so when interest rates are high, you need to be profitable because they're not going to give you enough money to keep yourself going if you're not profitable. And when they're low, that's when you can focus more on just growing as a business.
Yeah, it's very simplified, but you can use it as a rule of thumb.
Simplified is perfect for me on that. That's what I'm going to go for. Okay, so now if we're switching then into more of a profitability, sustainability mindset away from the growth mindset, how should retailers try to adapt to that if they've been in this same growth mindset that we've had for the past decade or two? What are some of the steps they should be taking now in order to survive in the new world?
Yeah, I think that the most important element of retaining is efficiency. So how can they remove inefficiencies? And usually what we see is that you can tweak a bit departments to be more efficient, but the biggest inefficiencies are actually between departments. So I give you an example. Let's say marketing is trying to fine-tune their marketing activities to get better ROAS, but maybe they are selling products that are actually meaning for the business, that the business has a very low margin. So when you add on top of this very low margin a real cost of advertising, then you are essentially losing the money. And the more money you spend in marketing, the more you are essentially losing. And on the flip side, you might have the commercial team that is trying to find, okay, so what products they should essentially price differently. And they might be decreasing the price at certain products that weren't even promoted. And these frictions where marketing is promoting suboptimal products and merchandising or commercial teams are discounting products that weren't essentially even promoted, that's because these teams are not communicating to each other. And not that they wouldn't like to, they have their meetings, etc., but it's difficult for them to connect the dots in terms of the data so that they could have mutual visibility what to do.
Okay, so there's a bit of there's a breakdown in communication. There's a disconnect between the different departments in a company. Let's say I'm a retailer then. Say I am I'm mid-market. What would be my first step then to start connecting those departments to get that data working in tandem? Like say I'm starting from ground zero. I just have my department's knowledge. What should my next step be?
Well, I would try to really understand what is the marketing effort behind every single SKU.
Okay.
And I would try to get this information to commercial teams. And then I would get information from commercial teams in terms of what is the margin or return rate or business critical parameters of product. This is the data point that I would give to marketing, so that they at least can see, maybe they can't directly optimize towards it. It's more difficult. They would need sophisticated tools, but at least they can see, kind of understand the other party. And this is what I would start with.
Okay, so I'm a retailer, I sell some clothing. What I can do is I can go to my marketing department and say, all right, tell me what you're spending for these different SKUs. Let's put it in a spreadsheet. Then I'll go over and I'll have them meet with my merchandising department. They can put in the different margins they have for that, and they can share those over, do some regular meetings, and it won't be perfect, but it's a good way to start and make sure that you're accounting for everything.
Yeah. And then you have at least some data to have meaningful conversations about, because I've been part to many meetings where essentially marketing was blaming that commercial teams are buying crappy products and commercial teams were accusing marketing to do some artwork that doesn't work. So I think that you can at least put the layer of data to these conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So start adding the data, and then you can be like, no, it doesn't work. And I can prove to you why. Here's the data right here. So get that product out of here.
Yeah, but it's not about proving the other party that I'm wrong.
Sure.
It's more of, okay, maybe we can focus our energy on certain segment of product, or maybe we can change the strategy. And instead of discounting these products, we should rather double down on promotion, and we can find these biggest inefficiencies way easier.
Okay, so it's not winning, it's working together, bringing the departments together. Now, I know ROI Hunter has worked with a great number of different e-commerce retailers over the years. Mm-hmm. Other than this collaborative energy, are there any factors that you say that really separate some of the most successful e-commerce companies out there from the rest of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not about just these two departments. It's about approach to data. If you look at the most successful retailers like Shein or Zara, these are basically tech companies that happen to sell clothes. They are really collecting data and processing data. This is their bread and butter. So the biggest question is how you can really utilize the data. And that's where we see the biggest challenges, because currently a lot of retailers have plenty of data sitting in different silos. So the art is to connect these silos and make it actionable.
Okay, so the big ones they're not just the ones that are taking all of this data in, they're the ones that can take that data in and actually use it and action it and make things happen from this data.
Yeah.
And make sure that everyone who needs the data can access the data. Okay, great. Yeah. Well, Carl, the last thing that I really wanted to ask you is just more of an open-ended general question. As someone who has, again, been working with all of these different e-commerce companies for quite a long time, what advice do you have for e-commerce retailers that have been focused on growth? We're talking about now it's over to profitability. Now, I know we mentioned getting collaboration going between your marketing and your merchandising department, your commercial departments to begin with. But is there any other advice that you might offer to retailers?
Yeah, so if the retailer is focused on growth, then certainly they have some good reasons for that. Right? Maybe they have accumulated the cash and they don't want inflation to actually destroy the value of the cash. So for them, it's better to simply invest the cash in the growth. So not every retailer is in position where profitability is necessarily a bad thing, because they need to essentially borrow the cash. So there is certain reasons for certain strategies. But even when your strategy is growth, I would look at how this growth is compounded, what is behind this growth. Because maybe 90% of this growth is actually healthy and even slightly profitable. But then you have 10% of revenue that is created by overpromoted products that are just consuming, I don't know, 20% of marketing costs. And this is, by the way, what we see very often when we start working with any clients, that usually 20% of their costs are wasted in this sense. So then you can think of, okay, what if they move this 20% of costs to better products?
Yeah.
And this is the question I would ask, because that can be significant variable costs. And you can do this analysis not only in marketing department, you can do similar analysis in your commercial teams. And you can even think of, okay, what are the synergies where we could find these inefficiencies? So I would say that fighting inefficiencies is not just for e-commerce companies that need profitability, but also for companies that want to further accelerate their growth.
Okay, so fighting inefficiencies and moving that inefficient funding to somewhere where it can really, really make it worth it.
Yeah.
Well, Carl, that's all I wanted to go through today. Again, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. And it was a pleasure having you here.
Thank you. It was fun. Thanks, Sam.